The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Aaron.
Are you going to be like that?
Yeah, because I'm early.
I know. We were all early this morning. It's super confusing.
We're all sitting here on time and everything.
In deference to our guest, we thought we'd arrive early and actually be organized, call them on time, the whole thing. We got it. We did it.
It's very confusing.
I know. We did it.
I know it.
Nobody's tuned in yet. They're all waiting. They think they've got time.
I was the first one in the chat room. There's a disadvantage to that.
I know. There's nobody to talk to. If you'd like to join us on the chat room, it's wethepeopleradio.us. Click the listen button and pop right up there. And for those of you that haven't been on the chat for a while, it's actually working fine now. So before you just don't do it because you don't need the frustration. No longer an issue. Somehow we've jumped the shark on that one.
And if you'd like to call in, the number is 530-605-4567.
Okay. So we did all the important stuff. Okay, so let's speed forward to our guest, because I've just been really looking forward to this, because solar just irritates me. I got an email a couple of weeks ago from a guy who said, hey, do you want to have somebody on about this rooftop solar thing and all the government grants that, I mean, we're all paying for this. So why should we be paying for, anyway?
Yeah, we pay for it more than one way, too.
Not even going to go there, but it's always bothered me because, honestly, for such a great industry, why does it never become self-sufficient? Why is that? That's just, like, never in the plan.
Why have I paid for so many solar systems and I don't own one?
Exactly.
Easy for you to say.
Michi Eliazi earned his master's degree in political science at American University in Washington, D.C., has worked in communications and policy research for the last several years with multiple organizations, including Americans for Tax Reform and Americans for Prosperity. Done all sorts of stuff, research on taxes, healthcare, energy, voter trends, and media. We could have him on here all day, but we only have an hour, so we're going to zoom forward and ask our guest to join us and fire off with whatever he's thinking this morning.
Good morning, Michi.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing today?
Great. How
Fantastic.
Are you? Are you you on East Coast time?
Fine.
So you having lunch?
I am on East Coast time. No, I haven't eaten lunch yet. I've been actually just doing some reading, getting ready for the week. Even though Congress is on recess, there's still a lot of work for, you know, folks out in the private sector to do.
Exactly. It's time to catch up while they're out.
Funny how that works.
Out in their district visiting with people, it's time for you guys to get ahead of the policy that's coming down. So, is the solar thing? I know that David wrote the article that appears on our page, and actually, for people who'd like to read that, we're not going to obviously do that for you, but you can go to wethepeopleradio.us. Robert's got that all attached there on the page. I was fascinated by that because it's always bugged me that these guys tout, oh, you know, solar, we can get rid of all the fossil fuels, we can have solar and wind, and none of them pencil out. Ever.
Yeah, absolutely. First off, thank you for posting the article on the webpage for your show. I actually took a look, and it's very comprehensive. It's great what you do for the guests that you have on to go into detail, you know, about the work they do and what you're going to focus on. So, yeah, our president, Taxpayers Protection Alliance President David Williams, wrote an article regarding this company, SolarCity, out there in California. And what's going on is, and you guys really hit the nail when you talked about how the drive for a successful solar energy awakening really just hasn't hit the mark, and taxpayers have essentially been subsidizing it. But what's worse about this is that what SolarCity is doing is they're taking advantage of these tax credits where normally they would go to the consumer, but SolarCity has found a way for them to hoard the tax credits for themselves. So instead of having the homeowners buy the solar panels to have them installed on their home, what they do is they have them lease them, so they say you can get them at a discounted rate and pay over time. But what's going on is they're not getting the tax credit for it. And the 30% tax credit is actually being claimed by SolarCity. So you have taxpayers nationwide essentially going to subsidize a company out in California who's really, you know, going around the idea where consumers would want to get the solar panels for, A, I'm going to get a tax credit, and B, oh, it might save me some cost in the beginning. But what's going on is they're only saving cost in the beginning because they're leasing the panels and they're not getting the tax credit that's going to SolarCity.
So normally, up to this point, up to prior to SolarCity's great deal, the consumer would actually purchase the solar panels and get the tax credit directly, and at the end of whatever financing they had arranged, they would own the panels. But on the lease program, do they own the, at any point, do they ever end up owning the panels?
No, because what's going on is they're leasing it for this period of time, and it's actually interesting that you bring that up, because they lease it for so long that sometimes it actually hurts the homeowners when they try to sell their homes. Because what happens is they put their house on the market and they're into these long-term leasing plans. What happens is that possible buyers may not want to sign that lease arrangement. So homeowners are really stuck with the panels that they've leased, and it actually becomes difficult because the lease is so long for some that it actually hinders how they can put their home on the market if they want to.
And this isn't a situation like a satellite dish where they could go up and take it off and sell it to somebody else. Once that goes on your home, it's pretty much a custom deal, isn't it?
Correct. I mean, these are structures that are put in place, and they really are going to be with the home. It's not something like a satellite where they just basically put a clamp in on the side. I mean, I used to have DirecTV, and, you know, the satellite, they come in and they take it off. That doesn't happen here. And these leases are so long that the homeowners keep them on, but they're not in the homes, and it perpetuates, you know, the scheme, really, by SolarCity to essentially get these tax credits and take advantage. And it's really unfortunate because homeowners who may look at solar and may be energy efficient conscious, and you know, I just want to be clear about TPA's position here. It's not about solar in general. It's about what this company is doing, because we don't believe the taxpayers need in Alabama or in New York or in Michigan need to be subsidizing SolarCity. I mean, we've seen this kind of winners and losers choosing happen before, and you guys mentioned it again. I mean, I'll say it, you mentioned it before about this idea that where has the success been for the solar panel industry? Where has this awakening been for the solar energy movement? We just haven't seen it, and it's cost taxpayers billions of dollars over the last, you know, however long we've been doing this for, decades, really.
Sure, because the solar guys always say, well, you know, this is how we get it to the marketplace. You know, the government has to subsidize it so that the technology can get better and, you know, more cost efficient, and then it'll be self-supporting. It's just, I mean, as far as I can tell, it's never happening. We're just going to pay for it forever. And then, I mean, stuff like this, it's like one of those stupid cars, you know, the, what are they, Leafs? The Leaf. Who would name a car a Leaf? You know, so you have your, what was it, a $60,000, you know, tiny tin can called the Leaf that goes 40 miles or some fool thing. Is this the same kind of deal? Is this just a feel-good energy thing, or do they actually get a break on their electricity? I mean, how can you lease solar panels and then come out how does that come out in the wash?
Yeah, no, actually, the savings that they're seeing really is just coming from the fact that they're leasing the panels. I mean, you can look at things, I mean, TPA has done great work on other energy issues like LEED certification. I mean, just to kind of bring up the idea that these ventures into energy efficiency really don't benefit who they're supposed to benefit. And something like LEED, you know, where you pull that in is, it's certifications and standards that are supposed to be met, and the idea is we're going to get energy efficiency. But once they do studies on what happens with some of these LEED certified buildings, you actually see buildings who aren't LEED certified in the same city or in the same county actually using less energy. And for solar, it's quite the same thing. We're not, the lack of savings just, it just keeps going. And whether it's the taxpayers who are paying for this, they're losing out on it. Whether it's the homeowners who are leasing this, they're actually losing out because they're not getting the tax credit that they thought they were going to get. And they're not seeing the savings that they thought they were going to get on their energy bill. So it's really a vicious cycle when we see the government essentially saying, well, we're going to go ahead and pick this industry because we want to put our money into it, and it's really not their money, it's your money, it's my money, it's taxpayers' money, and they're picking and choosing these winners and losers in the marketplace. And the problem with that is that the more that you do this, the tougher it is to get away, because like you said, we've been doing this for a long time, and here we are decades later. We're still doing it.
Yeah,
it's still a problem.
I don't even know when we started with solar, but it seems like forever ago. And I just keep, you know, I keep looking at my watch. It's like, are we done paying for this yet? If this is such a great idea, why doesn't it ever stand up on its own 2 feet? Because I don't see it ever. I don't see it coming. We need to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest, Michi Iliazzi, Communications and Policy Manager for Taxpayers Protection Alliance. You guys are going to like the article. It's on WeThePeopleRadio.us. Be right back with you here at KCNR, 1460 AM.
Through my window today, could have tripped out DC, but I've changed my way. It'll take time, I know it, but in a while, you're gonna be mine, I know it. We're doing in style,
right? Nothing like a stylish solar panel.
Thanks, Bob. You're rejoining We the People Radio with Michi Iliazzi, the policy manager for Taxpayers Protection Alliance. Oh, easy for me to say. Okay, it's not 11:15 here. It's only 8:15. Oh, my gosh. So this whole solar thing, are the companies based primarily in California? I mean, it seems like all the ripoffs, you know, Solyndra and all those guys are always out here.
Yeah, is Solar City the only company? I know there's Wall Street connections in that, and I'm sure you're going to get to that. But is Solar City the only company that's doing this?
It's the only company that we've been looking at that's doing it. And actually, it's not just us that have been looking at it. There's actually a great many pieces, and this really is going back to the last year. I mean, Solar City has really been under scrutiny for this, and it's interesting that you mentioned Wall Street, and I just want to kind of talk about the idea that are they based in California? Yes, they are, but what's going on is they're actually, the solar panels that they're getting, they're using a strategy where they buy most of their panels from a Chinese supplier. And really what's happening is, so taxpayers are subsidizing this company partly, and they're getting these tax credits, then they're buying these solar panels from overseas in China, and then what happens is the ITC, the Trade Commission, comes in and actually levies a tariff on these panels that are coming in from China that they're buying, which ends up raising the cost for the consumers that are having to lease them. So it's really, really bad.
Which I don't have a problem with that. I think if you're going to make it in China, they should pay a tariff so that we can compete over here. But the whole solar panel, you know, if you make a product that doesn't, I mean, they do work, but if it takes, you know, 50 years to pay for it before you actually see the savings, so you have to have the government come in and subsidize it so that it is feasible. Where does that, how did that ever start? Well, I know how it started.
There's no time limit. Yeah. It isn't like, okay, you got to get off the subsidy by, you know, X date or we're not doing it anymore. I mean, we've become emotionally attached to the solar thing.
Yeah, I think you. Yeah,
sorry. That's. What do you think? I mean, you analyze this stuff. I just hate on it.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, I think you hit it on the nose with the emotional aspect of it. And when you talk about something like renewable energy, energy efficiency, solar, wind, etc., you know, to give the benefit of the doubt and say that some individuals, many individuals who push these technologies, who work and try to, you know, make these technologies the new way to go for energy, to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that they have the interest of the consumer in mind, the interest of the taxpayer in mind, the interest of the environment in mind, that's okay to start. But when you see a pattern that goes on for years, for decades, where we see things like solar, like wind, like lead, and you find that in the end, you're not saving the money for the consumer, taxpayers are having to subsidize it, and government is really ending up getting a lot of this money too. This is where the problem lies, and this is why the argument becomes something where it's not in terms of whether it's working or not, it actually becomes how much are we having to pay for it to even get it to look like it's working? And that's the problem. And, you know, so I think, like you said, it becomes where the timetable is something where, yeah, it starts off as something that's good and you want to try and see if this will work. And like you said, you become emotionally attached to that goal. But with all of the money that's being spent and all of the ways that consumers are having their costs, you know, increased, you have to be able to take the emotion out and say, something's not right here. This isn't working for consumers. Taxpayers shouldn't be footing the bill for this. And government really needs to get out of the business of picking and winning winners and losers when it comes to energy and what's working and what's not.
Now, sure. on the lease program, is that a one-time payout for these companies that claim the subsidy, or does it get paid, over time, how does that work?
So when they claim them, they're claiming them as a 30% tax credit, and essentially they can claim them. It would be a yearly claim because this is something that they're leasing. They own the panels, so they can claim that. They can claim that. Obviously, something like a solar panel is a depreciated asset, so it would be a claim where you may be getting a different value each time. But as long as they have the lease, the fact is the consumers aren't getting any of the tax credits that they thought they were getting. And as long as SolarCity keeps owning these panels, they're going to get tax credits. And that could be something, whether it's how many they own, how long they own them, you know, how many new they're getting. It's perpetuated. It's a perpetuated cycle. And the real problem here is now that SolarCity is taking advantage of it, and it's been doing this for some time, and it's had some attention, what are other solar panel companies going to start doing? Are they going to start looking at, well, how can we take advantage of this tax credit and really shift the cost to consumers and get that taxpayer money?
Yeah, they're going to.
And that's going to be a big problem.
Sure, because they'll figure out that it's going to be a lot more advantageous for them to lease these panels direct to the consumer rather than sell them to
them. Well, how do people notice that they're not, I mean, is the energy savings so great that they don't care that they're not getting the tax credit?
Well, no, what happens is when they're marketed to the consumer, the leasing that they're offering, it shows such a upfront reduction in cost. So you can go to them and basically say, well, here's our competitor, and this is what it would cost, and here's what you're going to pay. And then when you get into the idea of how much energy savings you're going to get, they can, you know, be able to say, well, that's comparable, so what you're really doing is you're saving on the front end, so that way when your energy bills come, they are, you know, you've got all this money up front that you're getting because you're leasing it, and with leasing it instead of owning it, you can pay less. So it's all these hidden costs. I want to touch on something that you guys just talked about when you said that other companies, and I brought this up and then you expanded upon it. This really gets to another big problem when we talk about other types of renewables and other types of taxpayer subsidies. The complication of our tax code and the fact that we allow this kind of runaround by companies to be able to essentially go around the consumer, take the tax credits for themselves, and be able to continually get those taxpayer subsidies while essentially gaining the market. And that's a big problem with our tax code. It's a larger problem. I mean, like you said, if other companies are going to do it in the solar industry, why not other companies that may do it in the renewable energy field or the alternative energy field? What are they going to be looking at in terms of what's in the tax code, what kind of tax credits they can, that consumers are getting and say, how are we able to take advantage of this and let's get some of that money from the taxpayers into our pockets?
Yeah, because honestly, at the end of the day, I thought in the article it said, and while it's hampered efforts to achieve real energy independence in the U.S. and caused real harm to the economy, it nevertheless has met a legitimate need for homeowners desperate for relief from high energy costs. The problem is, as they step out of the market, the rest of us that are left pick up an even higher chunk of that.
Yeah, that's
absolutely. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's that was what I heard quite some time ago on this whole solar thing. Was as more and more people get on solar panels, obviously the power companies are going to sell less power, and as a result of that, they will pass that reduction of income on to the remaining consumers, and they'll have to make up that difference in increased rates. And so I thought, well, how is that really actually saving anybody anything?
Oh, correct. Absolutely. And even looking at the savings, when we talked about the fact that with the panels on the home and how they're leasing them, yes, but these are structures that are essentially going to be permanent. David brought up a great point in the article. And it's towards the end when you're looking at the idea of the fact that it's, you know, your home is you own it and it's an asset of yours, but now you're adding this potential liability to it, and that actually could devalue the property. And so, yeah, sure, so you may be saving for, you know, in the upfront months because you're leasing and you're getting these initial savings of, you know, maybe, I don't know, Dave said something like $50 a month he throws out when you look at some of these statistics, but then your home becomes devalued because of the structures on your on the property to the tune of almost $15,000. And when
wow.
you look at how long it would take someone, yeah, when you look at how long it would take a homeowner to actually get that $15,000 back from the savings on the energy, it would take such a long time that it would be more than 5 years. You're looking at almost 10 years, really, when you're looking at how to get that value back. And, you know, obviously there are other things that happen to your home in 10 years. You know, you have to look at the market share. You have to look at what's going on in the property itself, what's going on in your neighborhood. So taking away all those costs into account, a solar panel on your home or several of them could devalue your home to the point where the energy savings that you may or may not be getting from it will take you almost 10 years to recuperate.
Gosh,
which is
think
really,
about the bad,
really problematic.
And think about the bad policy in California that's being made in that 10-year period that's crushing you. I mean, we're just looking at one rotten thing after the next. You know, as much as they don't like to admit it, people are leaving. They're sick of it. So, you know, unless you're in the Bay Area where, you know, nothing bad ever happens and it's all rainbows and puppies day in and day out, you know, if you're out in the real world, this kind of thing could be a huge, huge deal breaker. So that little bit every month, I'm kind of curious, do you have any actual, do you have any examples, you know, like homeowner, you know, Joe Blow homeowner, he puts his panels on, he was paying $300 a month, now he's paying $150. Do you have a math example for us? I didn't really ask you that ahead of time, but
So what we're doing right now is we're working on a project. I can tell you that we are looking at solar city and their statistics, how much is being spent, and we're reaching out to the communities out in California and homeowners who have been impacted by this, and we're looking to talk to people to see from those who are happy with what's going on or unhappy with what's going on, and we're really looking to get those testimonials. And it's a project we're working on. It's not complete yet. We're still in the phases of it. So that's more like a stay tuned, because the first aspect of what we're looking at right now is the initial idea of Solar City and the fact that they're gaming the system to get these tax credits, and consumers are essentially being ripped off. The second phase of it, like you guys are talking about before you had me on, right when you were introducing me, and what we've been talking about is, what is the impact now? Now we've seen that Solar City is getting those tax credits, but now we want to look at, okay, so the consumers are getting the shaft because the tax credits that they may have thought they were going to get, they're actually not getting because they're leasing the panels.
Yeah.
Now let's go to the results of what's going on with the solar panels. That's the next phase, and so it's more like a stay tuned when we're talking about it, to say we're going to hopefully have these testimonials and we're going to hear from some average consumers, and some may be happy and some may not be happy. But the question is it worth it for taxpayers in other states around the country
yeah.
to be essentially subsidizing this California company to the tune of billions of dollars of tax credits over the long period of time?
And that's a huge no. We'll just help them answer the question just in case they've had way too much Kool-Aid. The answer is no, don't do it. It's a bad idea. They'll blow up. We need to take a really quick break. We're going to come back. We have Michi Iliazzi on with us, Communications and Policy Manager for the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. And I hope you'll check out the full article. And we've also got some other ones attached. I like the summer reading, Internet Access Taxes, and there's another one on Taxpayer Tricks and Treats of 2013. That was on KTGO Radio, and actually that was a great interview too. So those are all posted, thanks to Robert Exter, on WeThePeopleRadio.us. Be back with you in 2 minutes here at KCNR 1460 AM.
I slipped on my solar panel and broke it.
We're playing all the hit songs for the companies that are scoring all this cash. This is probably like music in their elevator. This is stuff they hum all day long while they're spending our money. You're listening to We the People Radio. We're here with Michi Iliazzi, the Communications and Policy Manager for Taxpayers Protection Alliance, joining Aaron, Bill, Bob. We started early this morning, so our fun and frivolity is a little bit muted because we actually were in our chairs before the program started.
I have a question for the folks maybe just joining us. Let's say I own a home, and I get involved in one of these leases, and everything's great, and 2 years down the road, my company moves me to Nebraska, and I got to sell my house. Now I have this lease. I have to get out of the lease, and typically what that means is you have to buy the panels or whatever it is. You have to pay it off. At that point, I own them. They're going to stay on the house. The new owner is going to realize the benefit of the panels, I guess. How does that all work? I mean, if I have to sell that property and move on, kind of walk me through how that...
Yeah, you can't make somebody take over your lease, can you?
And I can't take them off the house, but, you know, what happens at that point?
It's a present.
Yeah, so what happens is when you are, you know, when you get a home and you get the lease, essentially when you buy the panels, it may add value to your home because you're buying them. But unfortunately, because it's a lease, it's actually personal property and it's not part of the house.
Right. So if I move, I have to satisfy that lease and what?
Correct. And to do that, you have to find a buyer to do it. That's what we talk about. It scares off the buyers because what happens is when you're not going to take the structure out, so it's going to become a part of it. So what you have to do is you have to find a buyer who is going to be essentially willing to take on this lease. And you look at Solar City, 110,000 lease customers, and they've had the transfer of ownership of about 1,500 of them to date. And what happens is the new owners may enjoy that cost, or they may enjoy those savings, or they may not. We don't know. But the problem is you have to transfer the ownership. So, I mean, if you're getting out of the lease, buying it is a different story. And like we talked about before, it's going to change the whole calculation of, whether or not you even want to get into lease because look at the problem you present now.
So that is your only option at that point is to, if you want to sell your house, which you have to, you have no choice, you have to sell that property. It comes with a lease on those. There is no other way to get out of that.
Yeah, the lease that you pay comes with the house, and they're not looking to sell them. That's the whole point. Solar City is not looking to sell these; they want to continue the leases. So they don't want to, they want to keep the tax credits, and they're not going to pay for installation costs if you're going to move, and then they're going to make these solar panels go somewhere else. So really, that's what's going on, and to get out of the lease, I'm not sure if there's a fine or not. I've not heard of that. So I think for what it is homeowners have to look for buyers who are interested in, keeping the lease and being able to transfer the ownership. Because the last thing Solar City wants to do is sell them. If they wanted to sell them, they would have done it already. They don't want to lose the tax credit. And the homeowner in general, I wouldn't think that they would want to buy them either because they're moving to another home. And then what's going to happen with installation costs and things such as that?
Sure.
So really you're looking at a challenge for homeowners to be able to, if they get into this long-term lease and something happens, like you say, where they get another job and they have to move, out of their home, how do they resolve this? And, I guarantee you, I'm not looking for homes in California. I'm not in the market. I don't know if you guys are, but it would be interesting to see to go on, look at if there are listings where they literally let the people looking at the listing know there's a solar panel lease that's attached to this. Prospective buyers must be prepared to sign on to this lease and have it transferred to them.
So it's not ever.
That's what's going on.
It's not ever a lease to own. It isn't a. You can lease them for 10 years, then you own them. This is you lease them forever.
Yeah, this is a lease of we want to lease them to you because we're going to say it's going to reduce your upfront costs add to the savings you're getting. But on the back end, it's we don't want to lease them to you because we know that we can actually get the credits that are being given to the consumer by the taxpayer, we can get it instead.
What's this do?
A lot of double talk going on here.
And what's this do on the corporate side for, and I'm sure you guys have run the numbers on that, what type of a profitability picture does this create on the flip side for them by running it this way?
If you look at, Solar City actually, one company in general, if you look at Solar California, it has all these reports and statistics. And if you look on the page and you go to their statistics for geographically in California, one of the numbers you can get is the incentives in the millions. And this is where you see the money that's going in and what kind of how this cost is going to be in terms of the projects and, you know, who's getting that money and how it helps. And the incentive cost in L.A. Total for solar, it's $58 million, nearly $59 million. And that's looking at an updated report. And so you see that companies who are getting these tax credits and are able to lease these as opposed to sell them, they can obviously claim that tax credit. They can obviously claim it as a depreciable asset, possibly, or they can claim it in some way or another. Because not only are you claiming the tax credit from the solar panel, there are other things that you can use within the tax code because it's so complicated to benefit the corporation. So you're talking, you know, SolarCity is getting these tax credits from 110,000 leases, and they're getting this 30% credit from the taxpayers. You're talking millions of dollars over the long term, obviously. Millions of dollars that are going into their bottom line. And while there's nothing wrong with making a profit, I mean, TPA, and I'm sure you guys, we love the free market. We love the private sector. We want them to succeed. We want them to make money. What we don't want is for them to be making a profit off the backs of subsidies that they're getting from taxpayers in states that aren't even, I mean, at least in California, you could say that, oh, maybe there's some benefits to the program, but what is a taxpayer in, you know, Louisiana or a taxpayer in North Dakota benefiting at all from padding the bottom line of SolarCity with the government subsidy?
Sure.
I mean, nothing. And so when you say what kind of money is this making, think about SolarCity, 110,000 leases.
Jeez.
And then you think about the tax credit, 30% tax credit on these solar panels that they still own. You're talking, over the long term, millions of dollars. Because when you look at the expansion of the subsidies for solar when it started in 2008, and then when President Obama came in and expanded that even more under the stimulus program, the stimulus program is nearly $1 trillion. So we're definitely talking millions of dollars over the long term here when we look at the kind of money that is going to be made off of 110,000 leases that SolarCity has put out.
Yeah, and I think that's where, people tend to get a little bit bogged down on this whole lease thing. I mean, you can lease anything from a copy machine to an automobile. There's nothing wrong with the lease per se. People, you can lease anything. But I think what we're talking about here is this lease is majorly funded by us. And that's
ongoing. It's ongoing. It isn't a one-shot deal.
Yeah, taxpayers are footing a major part of the bill. Because, I mean, let's face it, there is an expense involved. Somebody has to pay for those panels to get them out into the market and start the lease process. And you know, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, it's done all the time. But a major portion of the money that is used to create that lease is government money, and that's the part that I think we're talking about here, and that's the ripoff.
Yeah, and I just want to be really clear again, and I brought it up at the beginning when you both brought me on, and I just want to reiterate the point for all of us. I mean, not just for TPA, but I know that you guys do feel this way. Now, it's not about being against solar or being against alternative energy. That's not the point of the discussion. That's not the point of the work that TPA is doing. That's not the point of the scrutiny that's been on SolarCity. The real point is that we should taxpayers in perpetuity be funding and subsidizing a company that is essentially giving a product that, if allowed to compete in the free market without government subsidies,
would
probably not succeed.
That's right.
Really the question. And I want to bring up a point because I know that, you know, time is cutting close and you're going to have another guest on. And I would have loved to be on for the full show, but I couldn't today. Hopefully, Dave or I can come back and we can talk about it more as the project that we're doing keeps going. But one thing I did want to point out, and this is an interesting thing, is that you see that this is not about the tax subsidy, but this is about the actual idea that, you know, there is risk involved here. out in California, you do have some firefighters unions who are actually a little wary of going into homes with these solar panels. And the reason is because of the risk of collapse to the roof where the panels are if the home is underdressed on fire. So that, and that's not a rip on Solar City. That's not really, you know, that's not meant to be taking a shot at the company. But that is just another thing when we talk about the risk that homeowners have when getting involved in something that they may not be fully aware of the consequences, whether it's a lease that could end up actually devaluing the property of your home, whether it's a structure that is in place permanently on your home that could possibly hinder the structure of what's going to happen if something were to happen to your home. So these are things that are really important. And while, like you said, like I've said, we're not out to discourage solar, but we're asking the question: how long do taxpayers have to fund this for? How long do they have to continue to hold this industry and prop it up until they can go out on their own and be successful in the free market?
Exactly. You kind of touched on something there I'd like to maybe address after our break. But as a private individual, if I wanted to get involved in a lease arrangement, if I don't have government subsidies, I can't compete. And that's a whole other thing. So maybe we can talk about that just a little bit.
Well, besides the fact that we live in Northern California, so we have like north of us, we've got hydroelectric dams that the environmentalists want to take out. Well, there's the best form of energy looking, you know, staring us right in the face. But nationwide, they want to take out, I don't know, 700 dams or some stupid thing, so that we can subsidize solar panels on everyone's roof. You know what? This kind of stuff makes me want to fly into a rage. But instead, we'll take a two-minute break and listen to something funny. Bob, do you have something funny for us? Please tell me it's funny.
Oh, I think it's funny.
Oh, he thinks okay. It's funny. Okay. We'll be right back.
We'll be back.
This is
going to make me cry.
Sunshine.
Oh, you're right. It is funny.
Makes me happy.
Bob, you're a bad man.
Sunshine in my eyes can make me cry. Sunshine on the water looks so lovely. Almost always makes me high.
Subsidize that.
Subsidize that. I've gotten a haircut.
The John Denver song was extra special. Kudos, Bob.
Yeah, sunshine on the water did make him cry for a second.
On the way down.
Hey.
Oh, my gosh. A couple of haters.
A little respect for the dead around here.
We have none.
A couple of haters.
It's just Sunday morning. Sacrilege. Oh, my goodness. Michi Iliazzi is our guest. We are talking trash about the solar industry and how they're being subsidized here on these rooftop solar system leases. So if your neighbor tells you that he's getting this great deal from some company called, what's the name of it again?
Solar City.
Sun City. No. What is it? Solar City.
Solar City.
Solar City. And they're coming through the neighborhood, knocking on doors because it's usually how they do it, putting out flyers, blah, blah, blah. What a great way to do it. You can sign a lease with them and get this solar panel. It's going to be less money. You should read more. Send them to our website and promote the article here that is written by these guys at the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. And So, okay, we'd like your final thoughts, but I also wanted you to put in a quick blurb for the article, and that's probably why you have to come back, because it's a much bigger topic than just a blurb. But you wrote a great article on the internet access taxes, and I know people have been kind of biting their nails watching that going through Congress.
Yeah, definitely. Really quick, thanks again for having me on the show, and would love to come back again and talk about this issue and other issues that TP is working on. And great choice of music, by the way. So apropos, but so great, though, really, seriously. So, the last thing I'd say on this issue in particular, SolarCity, is, they've been getting these tax credits since 2008, and it's millions of dollars. And the company, over the time period, has actually posted a net loss of hundreds of millions of dollars. So taxpayers are subsidizing them. They're still losing money. And
wow.
Then when you talk about, it's pretty stunning. But then when you talk about the leasing, what's interesting is that we talk about, without these subsidies, can they compete in the market? Well, in 2017, they're going to start losing these tax credits unless they're reauthorized. And if they do lose those tax credits, consumers who have these leases, those costs are obviously going to fall on them. We're going to see certainly there's going to be rising costs, because if they're not able to get these subsidies, how can they survive?
Yeah, they're going to have to raise they're going to have to raise the lease rate, won't they?
Well,
absolutely. So we're hitting a critical mass point here where we have to look at the consumers and say, you've really got to be concerned, and then taxpayers have got to be concerned. Are they going to be bailing these guys out? Are we going to have another Solyndra situation where we're bailing out a company and then it goes belly up anyway because they can't survive in the market?
Well, yeah, what's the chances of that, though? I mean, really.
That hardly ever happens.
That hardly ever happens with this.
Yeah, we've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, that was a fluke. A fluke.
Yeah, that was not even a smidgen. Not even a
smidgen. Not even a smidgen. That's true. That's true. I mean, the sun's always going to shine. Come on.
Always. Yeah, well, the other thing, the summer reading, we just put it up on protectingtaxpayers.org. And that's really, while Congress is away, we just would like to focus on some issues that are really important. And internet access taxes is something that TPA has been really working hard on for quite some time. And we're hitting a crunch point because November 1st of this year, the temporary ban on internet access taxes is going to expire. And we really want Congress to do something. The House has already acted, made that ban permanent. We'd like for the Senate to act, and that's what the article talks about. And what we also want is we want them to keep it separate from internet sales tax, because there are some forces in Congress, bipartisan, unfortunately, that would like to add on sales tax for the internet, and they would like to merge those two to basically, do a tit-for-tat kind of thing. And what we want to say is that those are separate things. Consumers that are being taxed for accessing the internet and just going online is different from sales. That's another fight. That's another issue, and we want to keep them separate. So I hope everybody will go visit the website, though, and look at that. And like I said, on SolarCity, I mean, this is just the beginning. We're just starting this, and I or Dave or both of us, I mean, we'd love to come back on the show.
Well, keep us definitely posted. Yeah, keep up with us and keep us up to speed, and we'll check in with you. And we want to thank you very much for coming on.
It's been awesome.
It has.
What a great way to start. Now you can have lunch.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. And I would absolutely love to do it again. And you guys have a great Sunday out there on the West Coast.
Thanks a million.
Thanks, Michi.
It's Michi Eliazi from the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. And everything's on the website, wethepeopleradio.us. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Ready.